clemency application of a man serving a 100-year prison sentence for the slaying of a high school classmate is rejected. Good evening, I'm Conrad Scheid.
And I'm Corin Cates Carney, and that's our top story tonight on Montana Evening Edition. We'll also be hearing from Missoula authorities on plans to crack down on uncontrolled dogs.
And an update on the vehicle and driver that were submerged in the Clark Fork yesterday. Montana's parole board today rejected a clemency application from Barry Beach, meaning he will continue to serve a 100-year prison sentence for the 1979 slaying of a high school classmate on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation. The decision from the Montana Board of Pardons and Parole marked the fourth time since 1994 that the panel has declined to hold a full clemency hearing for Beach. Beach has argued police in Louisiana coerced the 1983 confession used to convict him in the beating death of 17-year-old Kim Knees of Poplar. His cause has been taken up by hundreds of supporters, among them Democratic U.S. Senator John Tester, former Governor Brian Schweitzer, and former Republican U.S. Senator Conrad Burns. The New Jersey-based prisoner advocacy group Centurion Ministries also has worked to free him. Montana Attorney General Tim Fox issued a statement moments after the Board of Pardons announced its decision. Fox was traveling today and could not be reached by phone, but spokesman John Barnes says Fox fully supports the board's decision.
The Attorney General and all of the attorneys here at the Department of Justice who have been working on this case for a very long time are pleased and believe that the Board of Pardons and Parole made a thorough, thoughtful, and correct decision on Mr. Beach's fourth application for clemency.
Barnes says Attorney General Fox notes many others feel justice has been adequately served in this case.
Prior state attorneys general, the state Supreme Court, and four separate decisions from the Board of Pardons and Parole have concluded that Barry Beach is guilty and that he should remain in prison to serve the rest of his sentence. And I think today's unanimous decision echoes all of that.
In his latest application, Beach did not argue his innocence. Instead, he said circumstances have changed since his last clemency application was denied in 1979. An offender whose application previously was denied may apply again only if there is a substantial change in circumstances, Board Executive Director Fern Johnson said. Beach argues that there is the case here. For one, a 2012 U.S. Supreme Court decision ruled juvenile offenders can no longer be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, reflecting new scientific findings that young criminals have the capacity to change. Plus, Beach's supporters say he showed model behavior in prison and when he was free for 18 months after a judge ordered a new trial for Beach. Witnesses told the judge that Knees might have been beaten to death in an out-of-control fight amongst a gang of girls. The Montana Supreme Court overturned that decision last year, sending Beach back to prison to finish his sentence. Governor Bullock wrote the board a letter earlier this year saying Beach should have the opportunity for rehabilitation outside prison. It was the first time in memory a sitting governor had written such a letter. He was traveling today and could not be reached for comment, but his office did release this statement. Quote, I'm disappointed with the board's decision. Since Mr. Beach committed his crime as a juvenile, served over 30 years, and conducted himself appropriately both inside and outside of prison, I believe there's a strong argument for him to remain under state supervision as a parolee.
Emergency responders recovered a body from a vehicle submerged in the Clark Fork River near downtown Missoula this afternoon. The vehicle went into the river about 5 p.m. yesterday after Moan drove off the embankment behind Taco John's on West Broadway. Search and rescue crews were unable to locate the driver or the vehicle last night and picked up their search this morning. Using a dive camera, crews were able to identify the vehicle this morning, which was upside down in the river. Missoula County Sheriff's Office Public Information Officer Paige Pavallone says after locating the vehicle, crews used a crane and tow truck to attempt to pull it out of the water.
They were able to grapple onto the vehicle. When they originally pulled the tension, the vehicle broke free and then went downshore about probably 100 feet or more.
After the first attempt, the tow truck and crane moved to the sidewalk of West Broadway and the water rescue cream team from Missoula Fire Department went back into the water using a ski jet and boat.
They then had rescue workers from the Missoula City Fire Department. One was actually mounted on top of the vehicle because there was about 6 to 8 inches on the top of the car that you could see. So that rescue worker climbed on top of the vehicle and used what looked like a tow strap to wrap around the inside of the car. And then two additional rescue workers came and they extracted one single victim out of the vehicle. He was then transported on a platform on the back of a jet ski back up river.
Pavallone could only confirm the victim as male and an investigation will be conducted by the Missoula County Sheriff's Coroner's Office into the man's identity. They have not received any missing person reports overnight. Pavlone praised the efforts of all involved, but especially members of the fire department who worked in very high and very fast-moving water of the Clark Fork.
Absolutely amazing by all agencies involved. I was really impressed at how they climbed on top of the vehicle. This water is really moving, and that vehicle is in such a vulnerable spot with all this rushing water coming against it, and you've got an emergency worker standing on the roof of the car. It could have flipped at any moment, so it was pretty suspenseful to watch. Even as an emergency worker myself, they were all really brave and just did an excellent job, perfectly executed. We're thankful that nobody got hurt, and we're thankful that both the victim and the vehicle were extracted from the river.
The rescue efforts closed a section of West Broadway from St. Pat's Hospital to the YWCA, but reopened shortly after 4 p.m.
The three remaining defendants in a corruption scheme on Montana's Crow Indian Reservation have avoided prison sentences after a judge rejected the prosecution's claims of significant financial damages. Former Crow Historic Preservation Director Dale Oldhorn, his son Alan, and Sean Talking Eagle Danforth were convicted of theft, fraud, and other charges. The case stemmed from cultural monitoring work they did for the tribe and private companies. Prosecutors asserted the defendants gouged companies out of roughly $500,000. U.S. District Judge Susan Waters said today the defendants engaged in a more modest double-dipping scheme that cost the tribe less than $50,000. Waters sentenced the Oldhorns to 7 days in prison with credit for time served, 4 months home detention, and 3 years supervised release. Danforth received 5 years probation.
A Wausau man sentenced to 40 years in prison for escaping from a Bozeman pre-release center and holding his former foster mother hostage has been denied a new trial. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reports the Gallatin County District Court Judge John Brown ruled that the request by 26-year-old Charles Dustin Rickett came after a 30-day deadline. Rickett was convicted on February 27th of aggravated kidnapping, intimidation, and escape for events in July of 2012. He received a 40-year sentence on April 25th. At his sentencing hearing, defense attorney Stephen Scott filed a motion for a new trial citing new information that might have caused reasonable doubt in the jury. Rickett says he's innocent and was set up by an unknown man he'd been partying with in Bozeman.
Missoula authorities are planning a crackdown on uncontrolled dogs in a popular hiking area after 3 attacks on sheep the city uses to eradicate noxious weeds. Missoula Open Space Coordinator Morgan Valiant says that the 3 attacks over the last 3 days occurred in the North Hills when pet owners failed to control their dogs. All 3 owners left the scene after the attack. He says it's difficult for the herder, who's in charge of up to 200 sheep at once, to arrive in time.
When you've got these sheep spread out over, 50 to 100 acres, oftentimes the herder will be in one spot and realize that the sheep are running, and by the time he gets down there, the dog's already got a sheep down. And a lot of times the owner, unfortunately, won't fess up. They'll get their dog and they'll leave.
Valiant says that over the last 4 years, at least 15 sheep have been killed in the North Hills open space area. But he says the sheep are a good alternative to herbicides for controlling invasive weeds.
If we go in there and use something like herbicide where the weeds are widespread and we have to spray the entire area, you don't just end up killing the weeds. You also end up impacting and in some cases, killing off some of your wildflowers as well. The sheep, most of their diet is broadleaves. I'd say most of that is leafy spurge and other non-native weeds. And so it's a very effective tool at reducing the density of these weeds while maintaining diversity within the rest of the plant community.
He says that leafy spurge, one of the most invasive plant species in the area, is a perfect fit for the sheep's diet.
We've done multiple studies, and they do end up eating other plants while they're up there. There's a lot of different plants up there on the salad bar for them to choose from. Leafy spurge is just, it's really high in water, it's high in protein, it's something that's just almost a perfect food for sheep and goats. And they absolutely love it.
Valiant says that the sheep will remain on the mountain for another few weeks and that dog owners have plenty of other hiking options to choose from.
This program is really in effect so that we can use a different tool to manage some of these weeds, to maintain these natural areas so that they're diverse, so we have a lot of different plants and animals. The sheep are up there doing a job on the North Hills. They're going to be there for another 2 to 3 weeks, and so it's really during those 2 to 3 weeks, if you want to avoid all contact with the sheep, there's a lot of other hiking opportunities. If you do still want to go on the North Hills, be aware, have your leash with you at all times, have that dog on a leash, and especially if you see the sheep, you know, leash them up, and you shouldn't have any problems.
Extra patrols for the area are planned. A dog at large fine is $275.
And now for tonight's forecast. In Helena, it's 66 degrees. In Kalispell, it's 57. In Hot Springs, it's 73 degrees. And in Missoula, it's 75. West of the Divide tonight, expect partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-30s to lower 40s. Tomorrow, look for mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 70s to mid-80s. In central Montana tonight, look for partly cloudy skies and a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening, lows 40 to 45. Tomorrow again, partly cloudy with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, with highs 70 to 75. Southwest Montana tonight looks partly cloudy with lows 35 to 40, and tomorrow there'll be more clouds moving in with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs 75 to 80. And now for the editorial comments of Susan Kohler.
I'm Susan Kohler, CEO of Missoula Aging Services, the area agency on aging for Missoula and Ravalli counties. Tonight I want to raise the unpleasant but important topic of elder abuse in recognition that June 15th is World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. I hope to increase your awareness of this growing silent epidemic and suggest ways we can all help stop its spread. Elder abuse refers to intentional or neglectful acts by a caregiver, trusted individual, or stranger that harm an older adult. While it includes physical abuse, other forms of elder abuse can be emotional, psychological, and sexual abuse, financial and material exploitation, and neglect or self-neglect. Elder abuse cuts across racial, religious, ethnic, cultural, social, economic, geographic, and gender lines. Worse yet, many older adults don't even realize it's happening to them. With the rapid aging of America, the incidence of abuse is increasing. In Montana, Adult Protective Services, or APS, investigates allegations of abuse toward people over the age of 60 or adults with developmental disabilities age 18 or older. APS workers across our state looked into 6,291 reported cases of elder abuse last year. Actual incidences are undoubtedly higher since abuse cases tend to be severely underreported. Often undetected are incidences of abuse by someone who has durable power of attorney, or DPA, for an older adult. Let me share a couple of examples. The first is a recent case that was filed in Thompson Falls. A family member contacted the Mineral County Sheriff's Office, concerned that her 84-year-old brother was being exploited. An Adult Protective Services caseworker visited the man's home and found he had untreated skin cancers and only peanut butter and milk in the house to eat. As a result of the investigation, Mineral County prosecutors charged another man with bilking the elderly man with dementia out of thousands of dollars and obtaining ownership of the man's Superior Area Ranch and other property. This person had used his power of attorney to take money from the elder's bank accounts and transfer ownership of the ranch to himself. Another example involves a family member who had durable power of attorney over her mother's financial matters. Helen was 85 and ailing when she made a durable power of attorney naming her daughter Susan as an agent. 2 weeks later, Susan used this DPA to sell Helen's home and placed the sale proceeds into a bank account that were in Helen's name. Within a year, Susan had used her authority under Helen's DPA to withdraw all the money from these accounts to support her lavish lifestyle and failing business. When Helen discovered the money was gone, she contacted the local law enforcement agency, but was told that her only option was the civil justice system. Helen could not afford a civil lawyer, and the local free legal services program was not able to help her. The Adult Protective Services agency told Helen they were not able to recover her money either. Helen lost hope and died 6 weeks later. As these examples illustrate, an older adult needs help from Adult Protective Services and civil or criminal justice systems to stop abuse by a person who has misused a DPA. But victims can get shuffled from one system to another and not get the help. Unfortunately, I could cite other horrific stories, but I hope I've made my point. Exploitation and any forms of elder abuse must stop. No one ever deserves to be treated like this in their life, let alone in their later years. To help stop elder abuse, we must become aware of it, know its signs, and report it. Some signs to watch are unpaid bills when someone else has been designated to make payments, excessively large reimbursement or gifts to caregivers or friends, new authorized signers on a person's bank account, bank statements or canceled checks no longer coming to the person's home, unfamiliar signatures on checks and other documents, lack of personal amenities such as clean clothing and grooming items, social isolation or restriction of activities of the older adult by a caregiver, dirt, fecal, urine, smell, or other health and safety hazards in the individual's living environment, malnourishment or dehydration, untreated medical conditions, rashes, sores, or bruises. If you suspect any form of abuse, call 1-800-551-3191 to reach your local area agency on aging. They can refer you to Adult Protective Services nearest you to submit a report, which can be done anonymously. If you believe an older adult is in imminent danger, call 911. This is Susan Kohler, CEO of Missoula Aging Services. As always, thanks for listening.
Susan Kohler is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Conrad Scheid.
And I'm Corin Cates Carney. Thanks for listening. And please join Edwin O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.